This week's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by Talkspace. With Talkspace, anyone can get therapy on their own time and for a fraction of the cost of traditional therapy. And with over 1,500 experienced and licensed therapists to choose from, you can find someone who understands how you live your life today. For a special offer on Talkspace, just for our listeners, go to Talkspace.com/friendzone.
Welcome to The Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is The Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Motorsport. Put the thing in sport. It's Halloween. Hope I don't end up in the court. Niggas outside. Summers toss them short. I don't know. I seen them motherfuckers snort. It's party night. The vibe is kind of right. I'm wearing some pants. And yes, they happen to be tight. But it's costume night. So foes is fright. And everybody knows it ain't going to be no slight. If I move through the room, guess what? It's just your plight. My name is Dustin Ross. And I bring dick and I bring might. That's right. A powerhouse nigga. Got a slick tongue, it's just like pulling a trigger. How you figure? You get past a nigga like me. I do it so very, very, very easily. That was an ode to motherfucking Miss Nikki. She changed her voice quite frequently. Let's go. Spit, Asante.
Oh, boy.
Spit, Jesus.
Take it back.
He told me to spit. It means he want me to rap. I come through with a clip, that means we gotta clap, means we gotta get high, it means we gotta smoke. I'm not talking about guns, I'm not talking about tokes, I'm not talking about weapons, cause I don't do that shit, but all I do is freestyle, I'm slick with it. So don't get sticky, and don't get a mess, cause if you fuck with me, you gotta put to the test. Something better, something like the best, something moving freely, something like the nest. Of birds with eggs in my head, laying them bitches down, down on they bed. Head, I want more. Yeah, you see me, I'm on the floor, and I got more bars for more cars. That's it.
All right. Lyrical explosion this week on The Friend Zone, y'all. What's happening?
Oh, my God.
Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome to The Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell wants a must-see brain? I am 100% sure that I don't.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the studio.
Back in the stew.
In the studio.
How are your weekends?
My weekend was long and eventful. I was so blessed. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was blessed to be a part of the Trilloween celebrations in both New York City and Washington, D.C. Shout out to Kid Fury. Shout out to the amazing crowd of people who paid their money to come have a good time. I hope everybody succeeded in that quest. I know I did. I partied hard both damn nights. Shout out to DJ Queen of Spades. She was perfect. And I it was a good family moment. Oh, we was all there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was good. It was good times.
Cute. How about you? Well, you too.
Did the same. Ditto. Partied hard in New York and D.C. Shout out to everybody that came out to the parties. You were all lovely. My favorite costumes included all of the Little Kims that showed up.
Oh my God. I feel like that's always the case.
I just love seeing all the awesome black things that have happened in life show up on Halloween. As opposed to it being like a bloody, gory mess. It's like all of the cool shit that we've always celebrated.
All the culture,
yeah. It's like flashback. Like, I love that shit.
Right.
So shout out to the Black Powerpuff Girl. I seen you. There was like the black set of Powerpuff Girls, you know, the classics that we used to, and then the black ones. So, you
cute.
Know, I love that idea. How was your weekend, friend?
It was okay. Spent it with my grandmother.
Okay.
So yeah. So it wasn't like, you know, I wouldn't say it was a great weekend. It was a rough weekend, but I was happy to be in her presence. So that was my weekend.
That's wonderful, friend.
Yeah.
At least you wasn't outside getting mauled down by the children, which is happening on today as well because
it's the actual Halloween. You know, it's been Halloween for like a week at this point.
Oh my God, I'm so tired of Halloween.
But I forgot that today was actually Halloween, and this big ass dude that had to be like 6'4" comes charging towards me on the street with a mask on, okay?
Oh, no.
And my heart starts beating because no one else has costumes, so in my mind, it's not Halloween. It's been Halloween since, what, like Thursday?
Right.
And then he's like, Fran, I fucking love you. I'm like, did he not realize that I don't know who he is? You charging for an adjacent mask with a black jumpsuit. Mm-mm. Oh, my God.
You know, Halloween is something you have to be selective about the way that you celebrate. You can't just be on any street called Martin Luther King, you know what I'm saying? Any North, any of them streets. You can't be on none of them streets.
Malcolm X Boulevards Malcolm X, and shit. Yo.
Anything named after a black historical figure, that's not really the street to run up on somebody with a Pennywise mask on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to really think about
that. My heart, y'all. But anyways, that was my Halloween. Y'all ready to jump into the recap from last week's show?
Oh, sure. Let's do it.
Actually, before we do that, let's remind people that we will be in Dallas.
Dallas TX.
This Saturday, which is November 4th.
Can't wait. Can't believe it.
It's November.
It's November. It's November
4th. October is gone. It's over.
I swear to God, I was just getting an Uber to go to the club on New Year's. I swear to God, like, remember the moment. Remember the moment.
That's so real. And now it's November 4th this weekend. So, Dallas, we will be in the building. We're very excited to see you guys. It's a new market for us.
Yes.
So, very cool that you guys turned up the way you have. And we will see you. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, that's at thefriendzonelive.com. Make sure to grab that. Thanks for the VIP beings. That one sold out quickly, though.
I feel like it was the first one.
Yeah. So, that means we already know the energy we're walking into.
I cannot wait.
Very, very excited. Okay, now let's jump into the recap. So, last week's episode was a wild card.
Wild card.
One of you blessed us with the awesome topic of what were your most embarrassing moments? And we shared some crazy shit. I was listening back and cracking up. Oh, my God, we're a mess. As always, you guys had funny-ass stories of your own that you shared and just funny little perspectives that you tweeted and emailed and SoundClouded. So, Asante, who stood out to you?
You know, because of the nature of this story, I'm not going to share your name because I know we were sharing embarrassing stories. And maybe you don't mind because this shit had me crying. I've read so many of them. Some of y'all sent in pictures. I don't know why I did that.
I was dying reading them.
Yo, but the emails were crazy. Oh, and she did say we could call her Frankie for this anyway.
Oh, Lord.
I hope it's not too long. It was my first day working at Jimmy John's, and my manager was showing me around, so he eventually handed me my uniform to change into. Not knowing where to put my purse, my dumb ass tucked it under a table, hoping no one would mess with it. After changing, the manager continued to show me around, and I interrupted him to ask him where to put my personal belongings. He quickly showed me, and as I went to grab my purse, I noticed it was gone. A homeless woman, who was a regular, came in to get some water, saw my purse, and ran off with it.
Wow.
One of the guys working there at the time seen her, and we called the police. Of course I'm panicking, but the police finally get a hold of her. The woman was an idiot, and she sat across the street at a bus stop waiting for the bus. They returned my purse, and the officer who returned my purse, he was really fine, light skin, green eyes, muscular. He asked me to empty my purse in front of him to make sure everything I had was in there. Of course I did, because I felt that I had nothing to hide.
Oh, no.
As I turn my purse over, my makeup falls out, phone, some change, and then my vibrator. Yes, my silver bullet vibrator plopped onto the table. Mind you, I'm still at work.
Well, now we know what the lady was doing at the bus stop.
She just got this job at Jimmy John's.
That lady would have been
okay.
Lit.
Now we know why she was sitting at the bus stop, just sitting there. Just now we know what she was doing.
While she stopped. Okay. She reached in that person's mouth. Like, she just sat there. She was nothing else she
you
could do.
You calling her a dumbass, but she knew what happened.
Okay. Might have been she was a smart something else. Her ass might have been dumb, but something else was smart that day. Okay.
When I read that shit, Frankie,
I never thought she was going to say a split fell out or something.
I did too.
Okay.
Right, with the cop.
Okay, so when I got to that vibrator, I passed out. I mean, just imagine being at work. It's your first day. Your manager right there, the fine-ass policeman, and
started
the homeless woman
a
had it. I just don't even want to think about that. But
she could have worked that vibrator falling out to her advantage, though. If it was that damn fine. You know what I'm saying? She should have picked it up and, like, I don't know, licked it or something. Like, picked it up and, like, put it behind the back of her ear or something. You know what I'm saying?
What?
And, like, stuck her shoulder or looked at her, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she could have used that. Let me tell you something. Once the ball start rolling, you got to roll with it. If you are pegged ass.
And then he would have did a thread about her on Twitter.
Okay. After. But you know.
Sandy, y'all know what this crazy
Frankie, thank you for sending that email in. Fran, what did you find?
I'm actually jumping into Dustin's Twitter streets
hey,
today.
Hey, welcome.
Right? So, Kel's Too Real said, when I was in the fifth grade, we were assigned a how-to speech. My teacher decided that we would go with the snack recipe theme to make it fun. My country ass chose to make peanut butter and jelly toast. I gathered all the necessities and prepared to present the speech. I hadn't used the toaster in a while, though. But what could go wrong? So I popped the first two pieces of bread in and began to describe the steps. I was about 30 seconds into the demo when a roach scurried out the toaster and onto the desk. I tried to ignore it and just kept talking. Then another one came scurrying out the toaster.
Wait a minute.
Wait, okay.
Because I have questions.
Then another one came scrambling out the toaster. That's when the whispers began. My heart was racing. My head started spinning. Then two more came running across the desk. Whispers grew to a thunder, then to a cacophony.
No.
As roaches continued to scatter from my toaster, I fled the scene, hyperventilating.
What?
News spread fast, and I was forever to be known as Roach Toaster. I have never used
roach toaster.
And he said I have never Arteezy.
It's artisanal.
And he said I have never used a toaster since. End of thread.
Jesus.
Yo, that's so real. That shit's happened to me before too.
You had a bunch of roaches coming out your toaster?
Not a toaster, but I had a roach come out of a duffel bag when I was in middle school after, in camp.
Oh, friend.
Damn.
And they didn't call me Roach Toaster, but I remember the girl was like, Roach Motel.
Damn.
So embarrassing. I never lived that down. That girl.
Damn.
Luckily, she only had a year left of school. So I got made fun of for a year. So I feel you, Kels.
That's okay. She probably got cankles now. So don't even worry about this shit, friend.
I know how that feels. It's just so embarrassing.
Don't even worry about it.
Yo, Roach Toaster, bro. Dustin.
Hey.
What'd you find in these Twitter streets?
Welcome to these Twitter streets. So I want to give a shout out to Miles Jones.
Miles Jones.
Right.
Mouse it.
He quoted a tweet from @VibeNazi who posted a picture of this group of girls who was dressed as the Migos for Halloween. And they said, what song do y'all want to hear us perform? And Miles Jones, stupid ass, gonna say, I and Down to Earth. Meaning they're not even bad and bougie. They just all right and down to earth. So that's what he wanted them to perform. So shout out to Mouse Jones.
Look at you.
I cannot. Shout out to Mouse Jones. I want to give a shout out to Amanda Ginsburg @Greens, who tweeted that, Hi guys, Sarah Huckabee Sanders thinks JFK and Kennedy were two different presidents. Have a great afternoon. Accompanied with video footage from today, which is Halloween, October 31st, the White House press briefing where the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was giving a whole list of presidents who have done certain things, and she mentioned JFK, named about two more, and then she named Kennedy, and she kept going. So this dummy thinks that JFK and Kennedy are two different presidents. And she's standing at the thing for the White House every day. I want to give a huge shout out to JustinJ1232 on Twitter and YouTube, who runs a website called kingofreads.com.
Nice.
Who dropped an exclusive today, audio recording of Lisa Nicole Cloud from Married to Medicine, cussing her husband, Dr. Darren Noggles. We're going to give him his just due. Dr. Darren Noggles, the hell out about some woman that she's caught him with again. Those of you who are fans of the show, you know that there's a storied past of cheating and infidelity within their marriage. She's not even on the show anymore this season, but the tapes then came out. You can go to kingofreads.com and find that. Or you can look at Famalist's Twitter, because Famalist's Twitter always has the stuff. And you know what? There's a lot more that I could talk about in these Twitter streets, but we're going to take the shortcut this week.
Are y'all ready to jump into this week's episode?
Almost. I just got one more thing I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give a shout out to Dr. Danita Nikki B. Miss Danita, excuse me, Dr. Danita has cited some of the statements that we used in the Dopamine Loop episode, and because she's part of Team Typing Fast, she was citing this work in her dissertation, which has been formally published on ProQuest, so now we can read the information. So now we are actually cited in, Fran specifically is cited, but, you know, the friend zone altogether. But we're referenced in her dissertation, and like as opposed to just being, you know, part of, well, her studies on the impact of selfie culture in millennial women. But
selfie culture in millennial women.
Yes, so the episode, she said, it validated a lot of her findings significantly, and her goal with this degree is to write books and conduct workshops with young women of color to promote healthy relationships. So she wanted to share that she did that, and she basically immortalized us, and we're cited as a credible resource forever and ever and ever. So
I love it. I don't dance now. I make academia moves. I love it.
So thank you again to Dr. Danita Nikki Brooks.
Thank you, and congratulations, too. That's amazing.
She published this in the ProQuest Research. She sent us the email. And the document, The Kardashian Effect, The Impact of Selfie Culture on Millennial Women. So if you guys want to check that out, that's Danita N. Brooks. And I just wanted to share that to start the show off with a really cool note.
Nice tone, right?
So now I'm ready to get into it.
Okay, so for this week's episode, I wanted to jump into talking about dating and careers, right? Mm. The intersection. More so, okay, so I had a conversation with a friend who's an artist.
Okay.
And it's just a theme that keeps popping up, so I figured it'd be nice for us to deconstruct it. But a friend of mine, if anyone is an artist, you know that usually studio sessions tend to be really late. They can go for hours, sometimes days. It just doesn't really matter because it's more so about how long it takes to get the song done.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning right now. I'm just playing.
Right? I mean, yeah, when you have to create, you gotta create.
Right.
So she has a boyfriend who is uncomfortable with her studio hours being so late. So he asked her, well, not so much asked her, but told her that he'd appreciate, number one, he'd appreciate if she would not have sessions that were so late and she could make them during the day, you know, early in the weekend. And he just was very vocal about the fact.
Is there a check on the table?
He must want her to do gospel, because them the only niggas I know be in the studio during the day.
He was very vocal about the fact that it bothers him and it makes him uncomfortable, the idea of her working late hours like that. And most producers that she worked with are men, you know, so he was just pointing that out.
Right.
And airing his grievances with it. So she had to modify her studio schedule. And so I was asking her, how does she feel about that? Because this actually cuts out a lot of the people she would like to work with, because most people don't work during the day. Like, artists are just not in the... And some do, but it's very rare that you see a producer, like, early morning in the studio at, like, 9 a.m. Most people are nocturnal. That's usually when their creativity hits. So I was just so curious, like, because I started telling her, because she asked me what I would do, and I told her I wouldn't ever consider what someone needs for me to do. Like, if it's my career, then I have to put my needs and my priorities first. But I also understand I'm not in a relationship, so I can't really give advice to a couple. You know
what
I mean?
That's why you ain't got no man now.
Exactly. That's what my buddy
said. Listen to all your single friends.
You know how people always say that. Don't listen to your single friends when you're in a relationship.
They single for a reason.
Right. And so I know that I'm not, one of my issues is that I don't really compromise. I'm not very good at it. When I feel that it's not just, that's the thing. Because if I feel that you are trying to interfere because you're fearful, I'm probably not going to listen to you, because then that's a personal problem and it shouldn't affect my career. So that's my issue with it. Then I had another friend who's an actor, and their partner was uncomfortable with them doing scenes that were intimate.
Right.
And kissing. And that's, you know, I get it. That's understandable. But once again, that is fear-based. That's him being afraid of something, afraid of it starting something. So she also had to modify the kind of films she would be willing to take on, or the kind of projects she would be willing, because of his discomfort with it. And even we got, remember we had that letter the other day with the young lady who was a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm. That trying to break the promise to
that,
herself.
Right, the guy she was dating basically was like, quit. I don't want you to do that anymore. And she was kind of torn on whether she should quit or, you know, pursue this awesome relationship with this beautiful man who she attached a picture of. So I'm curious. First of all, has it ever happened to you where someone has kind of, not so much giving you an ultimatum, or maybe they have, on what you can and can't do in your career in order for your relationship to thrive? Dustin?
No.
Especially as an actor.
Right. So two things come into play here, right? I believe the way that you present your work and its value or priority in your life, I believe the way that you present that can sometimes influence the way that people receive it and respond to it. So again, this is a place where you have a certain responsibility as the artist to like work a little bit harder because you are the artist and you know that the things that you do are outside of what most people consider to be normal behaviors within a committed relationship. So if you present it as a certain thing, sometimes you can kind of take lead with the energy and just take it to a certain place where it doesn't even go left and they're not even allowed really the conversational space to interject with that bullshit, right? Also, you have to think about the fact that if you're in a committed relationship, the goal is to be so secure with each other that you have trust and that you can lean on them and vice versa. And so if those fears do exist, which you just spoke of, friend, then I think that's obviously a bigger conversation that you need to have. And it also puts your ass in the hot seat as far as making a decision on what you're going to do. So in order to be prepared to think that fast and make a decision like that, you have to already have some things figured out when it comes to how much you value your work and when it comes to what you're willing to do and not to do, when it comes to compromise or when it comes to what your boundaries are with your professional work and your presentation of it and what it means to you. Meaning that if you haven't taken your art seriously enough, you'll get caught up in that decision sometimes and you'll get caught up more so in your relationship sustaining itself as opposed to your career thriving. And it's a very real place to be. It's not really a sign of someone being naive. It's not a sign of someone being less than smart because these scenarios happen quite often with people who I personally feel are smart, okay? But sometimes your love for a person will lead you as opposed to your purpose or what you know to be the better decision. So you kind of just have to be ballsy as an artist anyway when you're in that space. And so you have to kind of transition that into your personal life. You just have to be strong. And if that works for you, you have to say, okay, but. Or if it doesn't, you have to say, no, I can't do that because my work is about art. I'm an artist. That's why I'm called that. I'm creating something. This is not my reality. You're here in this capacity, not them. We're pretending. And if that's too much for you, then let's have a talk about why.
Exactly.
You know? That's how I feel, but mm-hmm. everybody's not like that. And I also don't really judge people because love is very powerful mm-hmm. and it's very, very sneaky and dirty and underhanded. And it can just, it'll just snatch you when you're not even,
you
know, so
true.
You just have to have some respect for people in that part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's on, Tay?
I think you hit it right on the head when you were talking about being selfish when you feel like, it's something rooted in like fear based
mm-hmm.
because I think I have this problem with I have this problem with authority sometimes when I feel like there is nothing behind it. And that was one of the things I struggled with working in the restaurant. Like when someone would come up and they would be like, go do this. And I would be like, I'm doing something. Why can't you do it? Like, why are you literally just coming to me telling me to do something?
Power struggle.
So then if you come to me and you're like, I don't want you doing this. To me, it's like, why do you think that you can just come up to me and, you know, take something out of what I want in my life? And that's how I always take it when someone tries to give me an ultimatum. When it's dealing with something that I love. Like, if I came to you and I'm like, yeah, I landed this really cool role. There's a lot of making out, X, Y, Z. And you say, I don't want you doing that shit because you kissing people and I think that's going to make you look a certain way. If you can express to me that you think that it's a bad move and why, and I feel like you might be making a valid point, then I would definitely take that into consideration. If I feel like you're saying it just because it's something that you want and it's about you, It's like going in one ear, not the other. Like, I just think that's not even me being looked at in that moment. Like, if it's something that I'm like, this could really put me in a good position or further my career, then it's going to be something that I'm going to want to do. But if it's something where it's like, that makes you look crazy and those people ain't nobody, or, you know, you can make that look hot, or like something rational and reasonable, then I'm just not anywhere near listening to it. Because I feel like a lot of the time when it is fear-based, people want to put off to you why things are a bad idea, but they don't want to provide to you the context of, you know, why they feel it's a bad idea, or even provide you with a solution or something that can even get you to where they might be coming from, so you can understand why that would be their thought process, and even if that's in your line of visioning to begin with. And I think it's really crazy when people try to have that power struggle, because a lot of the time it's not their business. Like, for the people acting, if you're telling me that I can't do something acting-wise and you're taking something out of my pocket, unless you can tell me that this is a bad company or give me a really good reason to why I shouldn't do this, I feel like I shouldn't give you a say in it. And I feel like a lot of people lose that power every day when they do these little surveys on Twitter and Facebook and they just get away from things that they should be doing themselves or their selves. So I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, and I'm speaking from experience because I've done it several times. I remember being an artist and I was dating a producer who did not want me working with other producers that I guess he was envious of maybe at the time because they were younger and hotter and more on the scene. And I was naive at the time and I'm thinking he's looking out, you know, like, I don't want you working with so-and-so. And it really took me, like, in hindsight, like after the fact, to realize that, A, not only did I miss out on so many opportunities, but B, me being naive and thinking, like, somebody was looking for my best interest and had my interest at hand, and it was really more so an insecurity on their part. So I allowed their personal and emotional issues affect the trajectory of something I wanted. And so that was the first experience with it. Then the next experience with it was someone I was with who, actually I was with while we've been doing this podcast. He hated me coming to the studio.
Wow.
And every Tuesday it was a war where, you know, it was him mouthing off to me about, oh, because so-and-so rapper, you know, saw me here. And I'm like, okay, it's a studio. You know, like...
We're working.
Like, did he tell you I went with him somewhere after? Like, I don't... You know, like, there are people going to see me. That doesn't mean anything. You want me to, like, not leave the house? And he would be like... I mean, I think he would prefer that if I would just be in the room, locked up. Like,
when
his
are we
little...
coming to record?
Like, fucking, what is it? Rapunzel?
Okay.
Like, so, I remember that it was stressful. And I was like... This is crazy that me going to work is like a stress point, like where I knew I almost dreaded Tuesdays because I knew I was going to hear his mouth. That's crazy. And then, but I realized that it was two of us that were playing that game because I was allowing him to think that he had the right to check me or mouth me. And that was the problem. So now, and that's why I think relationships are important because it's not so much you being like, oh, you know, I did this, and like being mad at the person or mad at yourself. I've said it before, it's data collection.
Yep.
Because now I have all that data from all these relationships where now I know for the next one, I'm going to nip that in the bud so fucking early. Like the first time you say, I don't,
no.
Oh, no. Guess what? Nothing to do with you. And I don't even think that at this point, I'm putting it out there, I'm trying to match what I want, that I would even attract someone in that headspace because I'm not in that headspace. And don't be fooled, I have been in that headspace, which is why I was dealing with people who were. Because I know there have been times where, I remember I caught myself once with someone I was with who was trying to, I think they had to put together a career day for students they were working with. It was like a charity thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember they brought in a girl group. Mm-hmm. And when he showed me the pictures of the girl group, I like snapped. I'll never forget that.
Was they fine?
Because they were gorgeous. And I was like, why do you have to show them a girl group?
You was hating on Star?
I was hating on Star. And I was like,
in your house.
I remember snapping and being like, why you gotta show them a girl group? There's so many other things that little girls can be. And I like made a whole fight about like how girls need other examples and there's more. And, but it was bullshit. Yes, it was because the girls were fucking dope. And I was mad that he was gonna be around them.
You hit him with the, oh, hell no.
But you see how your mind can try to manipulate a situation because it's fear-based. It's coming from fear. Mm. So I know it very well in myself, which is why that I can spot it very easily in other people. So I'm at a space now where I don't want to be in a relationship where I'm scared of you and I'm scared of what you're doing when I'm not around you and I'm scared of what you're thinking when, you know, like that shit's so tired and old. And I really don't want that anymore. I want to just be easy with, I happen to be dating an actor. He has a scene, he got to kiss someone. I'm not at home tripping that they're dating now.
Kiss that bitch, bring home the cash.
Kiss her, make the scene dope.
Okay,
you better win an Emmy. If it fits your character, if it's part of the essence of the role, you got to be into the character. Do what you got to do. It's your career. You know, if you have a late night session, you have to come home at 4 or 5 in the morning, that's amazing. That just shows me how dedicated you are to your work, that you're coming home at whatever hour you need to come home to get the project done. You know, like, I want to be that comfortable and safe in myself because I trust myself. So I want to be with someone that I trust as well. So I don't really give my coupled friends advice unless they ask. Mm-hmm. I've learned that lesson. I just listen. I don't give my 2 cents because I don't really think like the average person. You know, I am very selfish when it comes to my career at this point. Because I'm just
and you
like
have every right to be.
Because what about if I change the trajectory and then we break up and then what? I'm gonna just be pissed. I'd rather just do my career how I want.
No.
Yeah, and be with a partner who understands it, accepts it, encourages it. Just like I will be encouraging whatever you need to do. Do you think that there's ever a time where you don't feel that way though? Is there like a boundary or a limitation to your openness with people's careers? Like, is there something that's a deal breaker where you're like, okay, I'm open, but absolutely not that?
No. And the reason I can say no is because in relationship, I would expect that there would be a certain level of trust there. Again, I'm beating the hell out of a dead horse, but whatever. I would expect that there would be trust there. So the things that I feel like would be outside of that boundary, you wouldn't even ask me if it was okay for you to do anyway, because you would know. So that's why I can say with full confidence, no.
Right.
Yeah, shit happens, but the things that for me would be extreme, you wouldn't even feel comfortable. You wouldn't even feel comfortable asking me no shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Your partner would just know that about you.
You would just know that. What you gonna say? Oh, babe, damn. So I gotta shoot this scene where we gotta, you know, spend the night butt naked together for research. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. You know?
Oh,
so,
shit.
Like, yes, it would be nothing like that. Certain people know. You set a precedent based on your behavior and the shit. You know what I'm saying? People know
you. And
you
know your partner,
yeah,
too, because even that story I brought up about the guy with the girl group is because I knew him, that
there
he was
go.
Grimy. Mm-hmm. So it was partially my insecurity and partially me knowing I was with a grimy ass dude that was going
to
fuck one of them.
You
after
knew what
the
to
fucking,
look out for,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? So it was like a double whammy because it's like, well, why are you in a relationship this fucking toxic where you guys can't even do regular things like charity events without it being a war?
Because them girls was hoes. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
They're probably very nice girls.
Very nice. Very nice.
But you got to catch yourself.
You do.
You know.
As long as you don't catch nothing else, which is exactly why you need to tell him not to touch. Now, if you touch them,
oh, no.
There you go.
No, you didn't. What about you? Is there anything that's just like, no, I'm open, but not happening?
I hate to be cliche, but porn. I just feel like...
Is that where you draw the line?
Yes. I mean, like, unless you come home and you like, I'm about to do this gay sex scene, but it's got, like, James Franco in it and
oh
Danny
God.
Glover.
You mad
and
specific.
Like, I'm just saying, unless you were telling me, like, some people that have, like, won some awards or know what they're doing with some shit or, like, working on a new project, I don't know why you would, like, want to be telling me, like, oh, you know, I want to do this porn scene, or I'm thinking about, you know, dropping the sex tape that I did. I would not feel comfortable doing that.
See how that sounds crazy, though?
I mean,
that's what I mean. You absolutely know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't even ask me no shit like that. Like, oh, babe, I'm finna drop a sex tape.
Like, I don't see. Like, I'm thinking about, and this is so random and so off base, but my whole life is surrounded by love and hip hop references and things.
Oh, gosh.
Like, when Mimi dropped that sex tape, it was kind of like, what the hell? Like, this is crazy. Like, how, like, what's that conversation like for him to be like, so, Mimi, you remember that sex tape we made? Like, girl, it's leaked. Like, and for her to be like, are you kidding me? But it was just like.
That was the one on TV. Now, what you think the real conversation went like? Hey, babe. We finna sell this tape.
Hey, babe, I'm taking this tape down to see how much we gonna get for it. Call me before you agree on the zeros. Like, I feel like that's how it might have went down. But I just feel like if you're gonna come to me and tell me something, like, and I think that people do a lot of different things for different reasons, right? Like, you might come to me and be like, I want to do porn because I've always, you know, had issues with my body and I'm finally comfortable enough to express myself and I want to share it with the world. I don't know. Whatever the fuck someone's excuse will be, I'm like making some shit up here. I don't even know what the reasoning would be behind doing that, but I just can't find any reason why I would want to get with that or deal with that. So I think for me, like, if you have to do something for your career, I can be understanding of that to an extent. And I can also say where I know I need to remove myself as well.
And I'm so glad you said that, because I am of the school of thought, especially now at this age, where I rather remove myself. Oh. No, I'd rather remove myself from a situation than try to check you about something.
Mm.
Because I just don't think it's my place. If I remove myself and then it makes you feel a way and you want to change it on your own because, you know, I'm more of a priority, then that was your decision. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And it wasn't like I sat there trying to mind fuck you or give you an ultimatum or make you feel bad about who you were. It's all on you always.
Right.
And so that is what would be different on my end. It's the same thing, remember, with the couple that she smoked weed and he hated it. If I hate weed that much that, like, it gives me a headache, or I don't want to be around it, the way I feel about cigarettes.
I was just going to say.
And, you know, I know there are people going to be like, but love is blind. Yes, it is. But I don't know. Just the day we meet, if I smell it on you, I really don't care how awesome our conversation was.
All of my questions have been answered when I smell that nicotine.
I don't care how handsome, how connected. You could talk to me about the phases of the fucking moon. Once I smell that, because I know that it's going to make me have to have a convo with you about whether you are going to quit smoking at some point, then I got to, like, be that person. I don't want to be that person. I'd rather just connect.
With somebody who don't smoke.
Boom.
Because it don't work for you.
And it just makes our lives that much easier. But the problem is, I think people get into relationships with people that they don't really match up with and then spend the whole time trying to change that person. Mm-hmm. I like you, now change. Instead of, like, feeling different people out and being like, this is more aligned with what makes me feel good and what I can make you feel good with. You know what I mean? And to me, that's kind of what I'm looking for. So that's why relationships for me now are way more intentional. Like, the days of you just being cute or, like, us having good sex, like, that's cool. But, like...
But I'm not about to... Yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's the problem, how we end up in these war zone relationships, because you start connecting off of the most vapid surface level shit. And then when y'all really get to know each other, you're like, I don't even fucking really like you like that. Like, I'll never forget, my ex said, yo, I really like you. And it made me laugh because I understood what he meant. We've been together for years. One day he was like, I really like you. It was so genuine. Like, out of nowhere in the living room, he was like, I fucks with you so hard, dude. Like, I really like you. I was like, I get it. Because you just, it's like,
what
I like
to
you.
That one?
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't like each other.
I feel like if you have a moment like that years later.
Ain't that some real shit? Because we were on the couch and I think he looked up like, this is nice. But I love that. That's so genuine. You know what I'm saying? So I just think, you know, before you get yourself in trouble of trying to check people, like, why are you dating an actress?
Right.
If you are uncomfortable with sex scenes. And like Dustin said, there's always a route to it. It's never just like, I don't like you kissing someone on TV. I would be like, okay, what's the real fear? Because it's, like we said, it's fear-based. What's the real fear? Because you watch movies with people kissing it on Netflix, and I never see you cringing. But you have an issue with me and my career and how that would fit into what? Our connection? Do you think me kissing my co-star is going to make me chill with him afterwards and, then, and not tell you, and then we start dating on the low?
Think like, all that acting is going to get the best of us.
You know, we're going
to
get
to leave the character on set.
I think people forget that there's like 100 people on set with hella bright lights.
Like that shit don't look romantic.
When
at
I tell
all.
You, there's nothing romantic about it. I've never kissed someone on in a like a scene, but I've been on set having to see. Like I've dated people who did music videos or were actors. There's nothing sexual about it. There's nothing passionate. It's so...
Right. You got to go to the trailer for all that. No, I'm just playing. That's where you find out what's really going on with everybody in the trailers. But anyway, yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Now, have you... Now, be honest. This is the last question.
Oh, shit.
Be 100% transparent. Have you ever put someone in a position where they maybe didn't pursue something... or follow some kind of project, like, fully because of how you... because you felt a way about it.
Never.
You
I got
never
too much
that.
Pride for you to think that. You know what I'm saying? I just have too much pride. For me, I have too much pride to intentionally do something that's going to make you think that...
that you care?
Not that I care, but that I'm, like, tripping about somebody else. You know what I mean? I'd rather just play the background and be like... you and essentially this is really how I feel. I would rather be like you. I can't stop you from doing anything that you want to do. See, to me, like,
but do you say that manipulatively though? Because you know how there are people that'll be like, well, oh, you don't say that out loud.
Well, I do, but I'm more talking to myself than them in that moment. Like, you know what, you're gonna do what you want to do anyway. I can't stop you from doing nothing.
See,
so
but
why would I stop you in? I'm thinking my way through this. Like,
that's but you, because when you know when someone says that and low key, it's a threat.
That should be something you only have to say one time, though, right?
No, you didn't.
It is. I think like
because that's a threat. That's you telling your partner, do what you got to do, and you might not find me when I come back. When you come back.
Yeah, I think that's a conversation that you have in the beginning. Up front,
right?
And you let them know, like, you're gonna do what you want to do. I can't stop you from doing it, so just know, like, this doesn't work for me in relationships. So if you decide you want to go fuck on everybody else or whatever, you can do that just without me. I feel like that's a one-time conversation, you know what I'm saying? So after that, I just don't
there's nothing else to talk about.
No, that's how I feel. And it does go down on sets. TV sets, movie sets, any set.
Damn, it doesn't. That doesn't help.
It do. It go down on chess sets, any kind of set. You know what I'm saying? Washing set, roller sets, any kind of set. It goes down.
Short set?
Short sets, especially. That's what you get after the set. You know
that,
what I'm
that
saying?
That was so good.
What about you? Have you ever done that to someone?
I'm trying to think because I feel like there's a part of me that ain't shit that would do that. Like, I feel like there's a part of me that would be like not even to be like... like the obvious, like you can't, you better not. But I feel like there is a small part of me that might have been like, I guess, like, you know, because when people, I feel like when they want something from you, like if they want an opinion, they're looking for one. And I feel like if I, in some situations, give like, because I don't like to be dishonest when I'm giving someone my opinion. If they're like, you know, what do you think about this record? I love to be like, yeah, I love this record. I like to, or I don't mind being like, this ain't for me. It could use some work. So if you're asking me about doing something and I don't feel like it's for me, but you really want to do it, in my mind, I'll be like, okay, you know, sure. But for me, it's not like like, this is corny. I don't know why the fuck this person's doing it. As much as it's like kind of like with Dustin, like, this is something you want to do and you're going to do it, so just do that shit. But I think there have been situations where I've been kind of like, where someone would be like, oh, you know, I want to do this, and I know it's going to make you feel the type of way, but I don't want to do this. And they're kind of looking for you to give them a blessing.
Right. Like,
and for me, it's like, I don't want to do that. So sometimes I'll just kind of be like, all right, well, you know, you just go out there and make it the best that you can do. just because I feel like genuinely I'm the type of person, I want everybody to win. Like, I feel like when shit happens, and sometimes it's fucked up, but I don't ever try to take anything maliciously, like, you did this to me, and now, like, you have to pay. Like, you did this to me, and I was fucked up, but I really hope that, you know, it was worth it, and, like, you were happy behind it, and you can see, like, what that meant to you and what that, you know, meant for our relationship. And I feel like in certain situations, people are going to look at, you know, the relationship that they have, and they're going to be like, oh, I'm not going to do that because I feel like it's going to make you feel a certain way anyway. Or they just not worried about it because they know that it's not going to be to their fullest or their 100%. Because when people want shit from me, like that opinion, I'm not going to give you like a pat on the back for something that was subpar. And I feel like sometimes people want shit from you, or they want your blessing, and it's not what they need. Like, they need your blessing because they know that they're missing something sometimes. And sometimes you can't give people that because you know that that's like lying to them, and I don't want to do that. So I would rather just lay it on you and see what happens, or I would rather just let you go on about your way and see what happens.
And a lot of times I think you create stress for yourself, and the truth of the matter is if someone's going to cheat on you, they're going to do it.
My point, that's why I said, if you want to do something, you're going to do it. I can't stop you.
I remember... And this is me admitting, like, the times that I've been psycho about it. There was a partner I was with who was an artist, and I would trip about his studio sessions, same as my friend. And I remember he had a session at, like, 3 in the morning. I was like, why I gotta be at 3 in the morning? Who was in the session? He FaceTimes me from the session and then leaves the phone in the corner while he's in the session. He's like, you happy? Like, you're gonna be sitting watching the session. But you know what? He still cheated. Yep. It just wasn't at the session. Yep. It Damn. Wasn't at the session.
You made him Instagram live that shit?
No, I didn't. No. That was all him. But that just goes to show how dumb. Like, I was allowing myself to stress over someone who in reality is going to cheat. If that's his character, if that's where he's at, if that's his character, it don't have to be at that session. If someone's making out with an actress in a movie, he ain't gonna fuck her. If he's gonna fuck someone, it don't have to be her.
It's gonna be the PA girl on
set. It's gonna be the girl that's bringing in the fucking cart with the cheese.
She, like, ain't even getting a paycheck.
You know.
Your homegirl.
And your dumb ass is worried about the actress. And you know what I mean? It could be the one putting on his makeup. Like, that's what I'm saying. And I've had, even me on the other side of that coin, where... back to when I was an artist, people were worried about artists that I was working with or producers, and I was fucking someone else.
There you go.
That they didn't even know about. That was like a regular ass Joe Schmo from like high school, but he's stressed about this artist because he's fine and rich. And I'm like, you dumbass. You're stressed in the wrong direction.
See.
But the thing is, he was stressed because he knew that I was grimy. And that was the problem in the first place. Why are you with a girl that you don't trust? And he was right. He had no business trusting me. So we were both trash. Could do better. He should have done better. He should have been like, I can't even trust you. You know, you bring out the worst in me. You got me going psycho because you have a session. I don't want to be with someone like that. And you know what I mean? And that's why you have to be accountable. You have to be on to yourself. If you start making me feel psycho, it doesn't always mean that it's you. Granted, where there's smoke, there's fire a lot of the time.
Especially cigarette smoke.
But a lot of the times it's you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I know in my last relationship, that was the first time that I was like 100% monogamous. Like, for real, I wasn't even texting nobody. I could unlock my phone and leave it. I mean, when I tell you I was so good, so perfect, and I was honest with him about my past and how I wasn't, so that if anyone ever came to him and told him some shit, it wouldn't catch him as a surprise. He already knew who I was, you know what I mean? No one could hold any stories over his head, but shit still went left. Why? Because he was stuck on old shit that happened to him before, you know what I mean? So if it's not meant to be, it ain't gonna work.
You know what, friend? That is the word. I learned a very long time ago.
You can be perfect. And I was perfect. I started modifying my schedule. I was like, I don't want him to feel anything. I want him to feel safe. I don't want him to feel... It didn't work. It didn't work because when someone is insecure and when someone thinks you're going to cheat and when someone is scared and when someone thinks you're a piece of shit and da-da-da, you could come home at 8 o'clock p.m. and they'll still be trying to look through your phone. It don't matter.
She
it don't
will
matter.
Always hit the fan.
It has nothing to do with you. And I know, like I said, from both sides of the coin. So that's why I say y'all gotta have these conversations early.
Early.
Really early. And really
Jimmy Thunder early.
And instead of always catering to what your partner is demanding of you, ask where those demands are coming from. Be like, okay, you don't want me doing X, Y, and Z, but why? What's the issue? Like, have these conversations because you're going to tap into way deeper rooted problems that have nothing to do with that studio session. And if you don't grab that shit early, that shit's going to turn into a snowball of problems where then it's going to trickle yeah. down. If you have kids and you get married and, oh, my God, it's scary.
Yeah.
You just was triggering me left and right because I was sitting up here thinking about all the times I could have just beat someone's ass by thinking about a text message read or some shit going down somewhere, like people making eyes across the room and be like, oh, so you know that nigga over there?
Oh, my and God. Don't even get me started on that. I used to... Why, did you smile at her? Do you know her?
And then I'm a...
Your mind could drive you crazy.
Don't put me on that headspace.
Yo, your mind could drive you ape shit. I was with someone once who yelled at me because a photographer was looking in my direction. He was like, you fucked him. And I was like, I didn't even see the photographer. I was like, yo, what? He never let me live that down. And then to make matters worse.
You didn't even see it. You didn't even know what
to
look like
to this. I was even looking in his direction. To make matters worse. That photographer ended up taking a picture of me like maybe 2 years later at Afropunk. I didn't know him. I didn't remember him. He was like, oh, so you don't tell me that this is a coincidence?
Oh, my God.
It is. God. Do you know how many people take your picture at Afropunk?
Oh, my God.
But I felt bad because I understood him when you jump into that that hamster wheel of like, I've been fucked over so many times that I want to trust you, but I can't. He should not have been in a relationship. We were both in the wrong. He was in the wrong for jumping in one without working on that shit. And I was in the wrong for letting him take me along on that roller coaster and feeding it. Because I was modifying everything he needed. But the problem is it was never going to be enough. Ain't no modifications in the world to fix someone's fear of you cheating on them.
Can I tell you a really ridiculous fear that I have?
Mm-hmm.
I fear one day that I will go on Love & Hip Hop, right? And
that's
I will
the
be
fear.
Well, part of it. Because, you know, I have these visions of me being in the studio producing, you know, working on my mixtape, then one or two of my albums. I don't know. But I feel like I'm going to be on Love & Hip Hop, and I'm going to have this scene where I just have people in the studio listening to my project, and then whoever I'm with at the time just busting up, and they're like, who are these niggas in the studio with your ass? And I'd be like, we're literally listening to a project. They'd be like, no, hell no, it's 2 a.m. I'd be like,
remember
I don't
with
even
Lyrica
know.
And Keisha Cole?
Okay, let's start
but
right
there.
You
see there. How Keisha Cole just got up? She was like, no. Nope, I'm not even doing
And then for Lyrica to understand that it was Keisha Cole and it was a platonic moment and that it was a dream, but then to cry on top of it, it was like you just ruined
it's
what
so
could have been a moment.
So embarrassing for him. Like, these are your issues, bro. You bringing this into my reality now. Like, I have a session with a big artist and you come in here making me look crazy.
And he wasn't shit because the episode before that one, I think, is when he brought his wife out to the other artist and was like, this is my wife. She gonna tell you why I can't work with you. I was like, what? Like, it's
you
one
know
thing
what?
That she got these issues.
This
but...
just made me think of one last question.
Oh,
and then
Lord,
we can move
we
on to the wellness segment. Do you think that you can stay with someone until they get over those fears? And this goes both ways. Like, if you have those fears yourself, because we've all been fucked over, do you think someone can stay with you and almost, like, heal you out of it and vice versa? Do you think
yes.
that's possible?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
I think that over time, people understand that consistency equates to kind of character somewhat in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so as people are consistently patient and consistently willing to offer up certain types of explanations, sometimes you can kind of quiet that fire with just, no, X, Y, Z, whatever. Now, it's going to take the patience of literally Job in the Bible. But it is possible. I do. I believe it's possible.
You do. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think it's possible. Now, how likely I am to come across such, I'm not entirely sure. But I believe it's possible. There's possibilities.
How likely that someone would be patient with you, or likely that you'd find someone you'd be patient with?
Both. Definitely both. Because...
That's for you too, Dustin.
As I've grown older, I feel like when I was younger, I used to be like way more patient than I am now. Like now, I just don't really want to deal with shit. And if I feel like I have to deal with it, then I'm not going to. I feel like we should just leave. Because this is going to sound really stupid, and I probably missed out on my blessing somewhere down the road. But if I have to deal with little shit in the beginning, I feel like we should just go ahead and end it. Because if I'm dealing with this now, then it's only going to get bigger. Or it could be little shit for the entire time. But to me, shit is still shit, and shit stinks. So I can leave this now and go find something else, and the next shit might stink more, or it might stink way less. But that's my battle, and I choose to fight by moving the fuck on sometimes. Because some people aren't going to be the ones to fix me, and if I feel like I'm giving up and be like, well, I'm not going to be able to fix you, then I'm not going to be able to, and you can't force me to stay and be like, if you just wait it out and, you know, give me this chance. Like, it has to be something that's like a mutual connection, and it just hasn't come across yet to where I would be like, you know what? We can work on this, and I can wait. But there have been people that have been in my life where I feel like their friendship meant more than a relationship, and because of that, that part has outweighed all the other shit. Like, I didn't even have to give it a second thought, because when it comes to my friends and they ask me for certain things or need something, it's like done, like without a question.
I mean, I've been patient with someone, and it was years and years and years, and you know what? You can't heal anybody. I've said that before. I said Haas's amazing quote where you can't heal anyone. You can just hold space for them to heal themselves. I've done that. But then we had to leave each other so that they can be healed and in love with the next person. Because what happens is you build up resentment. You build up resentment because you're tired, because it's relationships are already work, like, as is. It's two realities coming together, how you've been raised, how you see the world, so much that you guys have to mesh. That's already hard. And then having to be patient with someone who, like, constantly thinks you're wronging them, or they have this, like, self-belief that they're, like, unlovable, or they don't deserve love. Like, that's really hard, because you can never really reach down into that. You know what I mean? Like, you can try. You can be so amazing. Listen, I've been, like, the most perfect, amazing girlfriend, and I never reached down into that part of them, that core belief they had that they were not lovable. I could never touch it. You can't reach into it. It's the most fascinating shit. And so I've learned to stop trying, because that's exhausting. And I know it for me too, because someone did it for me. I always talk about that relationship. I was in there for 6 years. How much longer was that dude supposed to wait for me to feel loved? I never did. Never did. To the point that he started getting back pains. He was always at the chiropractor. It started manifesting physically. Even me, my kidney, like, we both were sick, because we were both trying to heal these toxicities that were, like, beyond our scope of understanding. And, like, really good sex, or, like, having good weekend trips somewhere, like, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't even scratch the itch. Because you can be happy for 3-4 days, and then right back, it always goes right back to that belief. You cheating on me. You'll be like, yo, I was just with you for, like, a week.
Who you texting? You know that's my favorite one. Who you texting?
You know who you texting. And so it's like, oh, my God. And it's like all that work, it's unraveled. It was just this, you know what I mean? So what has helped me feel better and remove that belief system about not feeling loved is being by myself and figuring out why I feel that way to begin with. And I've always talked about that. There's actually a show now called Mindhunter. Have you guys seen it? It's on Netflix. Mm-mm. With FBI agents tapping into the behavioral sciences, which you guys know is like my obsession, and trying to understand serial killers. This was like at the height of serial killers. Like, they didn't even have the term for it yet. They had always done cases where, you know, it was a passion. What do they call it? Crime of passion. And where it was very specific, very like, mom killed this person, wife killed this person. You had the theory, the stories, da da da. But it's like, okay, but what happens when people are just killing for no fucking reason? So that's when that story, you know, when they started studying that in psychology classes and bringing that into the FBI. And every single serial killer they met with, it always went back to their relationship with their mom. It was crazy. Damn. Every single one. And it'll be shit that you'll be like, wow, that made you snap. Because people process things so differently. You know what I mean? So think of, when you think, obviously I'm not saying like everyone's a serial killer.
Right.
But when you think that the traumas and the childhood things and how we all process different things differently and our relationships with our moms, it's just, it's so much. And you have to work all that out first. You just do. Or else you're going to have a partner who's going to be trying to scratch your itch forever and they're going to be so exhausted. And then you do this whole ride or die thing. And they're really dying, though. Like, they're riding, but they're dying, too. And it's not fair. You know what I mean? And I think it's time for people to be accountable of, like, how much they're dragging their partners in the mud because of their own bullshit. Yeah. And until, that's why I love that I've spent this year and some change. It's almost going to be a year and a half completely by myself. You know what's crazy? I was thinking back. I have not been single since eighth grade. That's sad.
You were overdue for some alone time.
So I was talking with someone this week, one of my friends. She was like, when was the last time you were single this long? I was like, I think like the summer, like before eighth grade. And we just died laughing. I'm like, that's sad. No, that's, dude.
That ain't sad. That's happy. That's fine people problems. You fine, girl. That's why shit. You're like, I ain't got
no
to sweat you, nigga. I go outside. Okay.
You want to leave me grade to watch this? And then you walk out.
No, but being alone has been nice because I see all of my bullshit. I'm able to, all that data collection, yo, it's so nice. So now, you know, I'm going to save the next dude some problems. I'm going to save us some time, and I'm going to save him some problems. And I'm sure in turn, you know, he's going to save me a lot of problems too, because we'll just be able to connect with on a clearer, doesn't mean I'm perfect,
right?
But clearer channel than if I had just jumped into another relationship this past year. So just something to think about.
Yep.
Before you jump in and start modifying all of your partner's commands and demands,
dip a toe in the water. See if it's too hot first.
Dip a toe.
Have the conversations of where that's coming from. Is it fear-based? Is it a boundary they're creating because they're scared? Or a boundary they're creating because they're looking out for you? Because there's a big difference. And until you have that conversation, I don't think you should be modifying shit.
And don't laugh. I'm the type that'll laugh. Cause you know,
oh, you would.
Because you know when someone says something really crazy to you, like, I don't want you doing this. I'll be like, why? Like, and then it's like, I don't want to answer your fucking question if you just laughed at me. So don't laugh.
No, please don't
that's
laugh.
That's my problem. Like, this is ridiculous. Why would you say that?
So that's it for this week's Hot Button Issue. Hopefully that helped somebody out there. Somebody. I'm ready to be slaughtered by all the married. You're not married. You can't tell me what
shut
to do.
Shut your single ass up.
That always happens. I'm ready for y'all. All right, so let's jump into this week's wellness segment.
Well, 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 well.
Surround sound.
So you know that even though by the time you guys are listening to this, it will be November 1st, but as we're recording this, it's still October 31st, and it's, you know, it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Yes, and Lone, my favorite deodorant company, who prides themselves on having healthy ingredients in their deodorant with no aluminum. So most of the fears having to do with deodorant and antiperspirants center around this active ingredient called aluminum. Now, aluminum-based compounds, which is what you'll find in pretty much every deodorant that isn't natural, is that it temporarily plugs the sweat ducts and prevents you from perspiring. Now, typically, when you read these studies, the tie-in and the link to breast cancer research and cancer research in general has to do with the effects that this aluminum ingredient has in your body once yes, you're not sweaty, you're not wet. It did its job of temporarily plugging in the ducts, but
you got aluminum foil in your pores.
Not aluminum foil.
In but, your what?
In your pores.
Oh, I thought you said something.
Ooh, ooh. But what is that aluminum? But what is that aluminum doing once it gets up in there,
right,
to the rest of your body? So that's what the biggest concern has been. But what I love about what Loan is doing is that they are trying to help fund research that will prove the links to breast cancer so that it's not just us being these hippy-dippy people that are saying, yeah, but I read this journal. You know, now it's like scientifically proven. Like we have citations, scientific journals that will show you exactly what's happening to your body when aluminum temporarily plugs up your sweat. So I love that they created these pink-hued bottles as their campaign, which I love. And $1 of your purchase, they're actually going to extend it until November 5th. So $1. Yeah, you got a couple days. $1 of your purchase will go towards the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research, I can't even speak, Research Center. They said that they stood out in their focus on alternative subjects and breast cancer prevention and treatment, since we all know cancer is a money industry, unfortunately. So it's hard to trust a lot of the research being done. There isn't nearly enough lifestyle prevention being studied. So what I love about this foundation, they were telling me, the women from Loan, is that they put a lot of money into the prevention and the cure of it and trying to find out how we can do that. So fredhutch.org, if you want to check that out, just to kind of, you know, get verification. I understand a lot of times people say, you know, $1 of your purchase will go to a proceed. You know, the proceeds will go to cancer research. You're like, okay, but which org?
Okay, Sarah McLachlan.
Right, like I'm going to give money to an idea. Right. You know what I'm saying? I think it's so cool that they're giving money to charity. Let me just buy that. Where is it going?
Exactly.
Right. Who ate it up? Like Senator Ford. Shout out to Senator Ford from Tennessee.
So I love that they were like, here's the org that the money's going towards. As you know, I've been using Loan for like 5 to 6 years now. I really love their deodorants because it's Dead Sea Salt, cocoa butter, coconut oil, different essential oils based on the fragrances that you get. Really, really incredible ingredients. They actually have new scents now that they dropped recently. A lavender one that I'm obsessed with.
Okay.
I don't like scented deodorant because I already wear so many scents and oils, and I don't like having like multiple
you
scents
like,
on me.
Got that part covered.
Glass of the oils.
Yeah, like I just think it's too much. But they were like, no, we think you love the lavender one. They sent it to me, and they also have a coconut lime one. And I'm like, yeah.
Put the lime in the coconut.
So I'm telling you, when I smelled both of those scents, I hit them back like, okay, y'all got me, because y'all know I do not do scented fucking deodorant. But it smells so earthy and really clean and natural. I think, you know, the ones you get in the stores is like too sweet almost.
They smell like car air fresheners. Them yes. Tree air. Some deodorant be smelling like them tree air fresheners.
And then if you
the
are
tree.
Like.
Black ice.
And the thing is, if you are sweaty and then have sweetness, it's yes, a bad chemical reaction.
Literally a toxic combination.
Right. So I. So I tried it and I love that it's more herbal. If anything, and it just smells really natural in a nice way, not in a hippie way. Because I know I saw your face.
When
like,
you said herbal,
what do you mean
I was
natural?
Like, okay, herbal, you know,
right, natural.
How natural are you talking?
I ain't even gonna do it. I ain't gonna
don't.
Do it.
So that's it for this week's wellness segment. Just wanted to put that out there. I've also received a lot of messages from you guys being like, how do you spell Loan? And it's L-O-N-E.
Oh my God.
LoanDeodorant.com. And it's yeah, Loan Deodorant, because they actually changed the website. It's LoanDeodorant.com. And some of you are like, I tried it and it didn't work. And then when I asked you which one you tried, it wasn't the one I suggested. So you can't be mad at
Damn.
Me. It
Damn.
Happens every time. Every time someone says, I stink. It was actually one of your friends. Latasha, is that her name? She was like, I stink.
Like, this is the wrong
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. First of all, why are you tweeting me that. What am I supposed to do for you?
Right. But well, Natasha, try again, girl.
But someone else, when I was asking them, okay, which one did you use? It's never the one I suggest. I'm like, why do y'all do that?
Damn.
But it's, you have to try the bold line. Some of them say bold on them, and it's that bold that makes a difference because it's a stronger line.
It's for black people, sweetie.
The lighter ones are light. So that's more so if you've already been using natural deodorants for a long time and your body's like already detoxed, you know what I mean? So your body kind of meshes with it a little.
It responds to that.
Right. It responds to it a little bit with a little more ease.
Mine won't. I tried long deodorant. First of all, I didn't stink.
So no. But it's not an antiperspirant.
Right. And so for me being a guy and like active. Is different for me. Right. But there are people that works for. And again, I didn't stink.
Thank you, Dustin. Shit. Like I said, try the bold lines. And then if you can, try the lavender. If it's a scent that you like, the coconut lime is actually really nice, too. So either one.
Can you taste a little bit of it? I might want to lick just a little bit off the cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, well, it is natural. And she ain't no aluminum.
Can't say that I've tried.
You know, I just wonder.
Support for today's episode comes from Talkspace. Talkspace is the online therapy company that makes it easy to connect with an experienced, licensed therapist that you pick based on your preferences, all for the fraction of the cost of traditional therapy. You can speak with your Talkspace therapist on the web, over the phone, even do a live video chat without traveling or worrying about your privacy. Pick the best plan that works for you. All Talkspace therapists are fully licensed, have at least a master's degree, and go through a rigorous screening process in addition to the thousands of hours of supervised professional training. Best of all, Talkspace is 100% confidential. You can remain completely anonymous if you want. Start therapy now with a therapist that understands how you live your life today. Match with your perfect therapist at Talkspace.com/friendzone. And as a special offer for our listeners, you can use coupon code FRIENDZONE to get $30 off your first month and show your support for this podcast. That's code FRIENDZONE at Talkspace.com/friendzone. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today.
And that's it. Now we can jump into Mr. Music Man. What you got for us this week, Asante?
Jeez Louise. don't forget that you can email suggestions for any of the segments. And again, these are just suggestions that you can email to the friendzone at loudspeakersnetwork.com. With that said, we once upon a time did Icebreakers Weekly, and it just seems like the icebreakers keep on a-coming.
Never funny.
This week, the icebreaker was submitted in the emails by Brittany Collins. Shout out to Brittany. I'm actually going to remix her icebreaker. Her icebreaker is, name a song or your favorite song from the past and present and give it a visual. So it can be, hers was name your favorite song that never had a visual, but even if it had a visual and you probably didn't see it or you feel like you could have done it better, give this jam, any jam of choice, a visual or a new visual, if you will.
A nude visual.
New.
Oh, what was her name?
N-E-W.
Oh, new.
New.
Oh,
new
okay,
vision.
Okay.
You
was
know.
About to get really interesting.
Yeah, I know. You heard nude and turned that out.
I was like, oh. Well, since I'm directing, lean left.
I'm dead. Oh my gosh.
One of the tracks she chose was Madonna by Drake.
Okay.
So she would have given that one a visual, but she didn't.
Because Madonna's Get in the Car. Okay.
Right? And I bet, you know, because it's Drake, Madonna would be in the video somewhere.
Okay, cool.
That scene of her kissing him on stage.
Oh, yeah. And when he threw up afterwards.
Like, who hasn't Madonna kissed?
That was so embarrassing the way he reacted. Damn. I'd have melted.
Right. She had on L-O-A-N deodorant. It wasn't L-O-N-E. So he kissed her, and she was musty. Drake was like, oh, hell no. That's old bitch that kissing for this musty-ass shit. That's why he made that face.
Oh,
okay, so I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Kiss It Better by Rihanna was a missed moment for a visual. The song tells a story. Opportunity was there. I, too, am a creative and may or may not have had an idea for concept. I believe that one of my all-time favorite songs, which is Take On Me by the group A-ha, it came out in the 80s.
Take on me.
So I love that song.
That song was amazing.
Oh, what to say. Anyway, that's one of my all-time favorite songs and all-time favorite visuals. And I would have loved to have seen that story reinterpreted with her the video to Kiss It Better. It's, I believe, and Rihanna has done some really great things in the video realm. Because We Found Love is one of my all-time favorite music videos.
Love that video.
The story, it just... is you just feel like you're one of them.
Toxicity, yes. We love it.
Yes.
Sidebar, shout out to System of a Down because you just made me think about Toxicity by them. No! How do you own the world? How do you own disorder? Disorder.
I just love that we all have these tastes in music.
So, but yes, that would be my pick. What about you, Asante? Actually, Fran.
Take it away.
Anytime.
Okay, well, I have like a lot of random ass people, places, and things that I wanted to say. So this is going to be really awful that I'm even using this person. Chris Brown has, I'm tired of him doing like the Michael Jackson thing.
Which of the 45 new songs?
Well, we'll get there. Okay. I'm tired of Chris Brown doing this like old to Michael Jackson thing. It's dope, you know, Michael Jackson, well, he was one of your greatest inspirations, cool. I feel like Chris Brown is missing this really cool like alternative break, and I wish he would do a video. I wish he would have Coldplay, Chris Martin, like doing his videos. Do you remember the song, like back when he was doing like a Crawl and No Air, like that era?
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like he really could have used
more into the pop side of his brand.
Right. Like you remember he had that song and it was like the Double Mint commercial or whatever. So he was like crossing over and doing stuff for the white people. I feel like if he would have did like a really dope video for Crawl and it would have been like him walking backwards and shit happening or something really dope going, it would have been like the like A1 visual. Like, I know we know Christopher as the dancer and the entertainer, and that's awesome, that's dope. But he's always crooning on a goddamn track. We don't have, like, a really cool, cute, like, movie of him before he got all these tattoos and looked really crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, just one of him as, like, a nice-looking young man that's, like, been through some shit and his struggle and his story. And then, you know, like, him breaking through that and him being, like, dad and stuff. So I would like for Christopher Maurice to get with people like, you know who could direct one of his videos? Travis Scott. Travis Scott puts out really dope visuals and videos.
He does.
I can't think of any Travis Scott videos.
There's a video where, I think it's 90210, but I'm not sure, where he gets hit by the car at the end. Like there's, like the whole video is kind of, it's not slow motion, but it's kind of like muted for some parts. But he's like literally riding around the neighborhood. Like girl arguing with him in the beginning. She gets out the car. He rolls up on a homie, gives him a ride somewhere. Like, just a bunch of shit going on in the hood, and then at the end, like, he gets hit by a car. But it's, like, his shit playing in the background, and it's kind of like, okay, like, I see the vision. It's a dope riding track, and it's some shit that you could get killed to, you know? And I'm sure there was a deeper meaning that I just didn't sip my lean and look into. But that is one of the many. Fran, what about you?
Oh, this is hard.
So hard. I just think there have been so many bomb visuals already.
So what if you had to do the video for Eventually by Tame Impala? What would
you see?
You
know why I'm shook? Because that was... okay, I'm leaving. On my life, that was the song I was about to say.
Wow.
But I couldn't think of the... I was like, what would be the visual? And then I was torn between... You just freaked me out. Of all songs... I know even though that's like our song, but still.
It's still very random.
Random. I was thinking between Eventually by Tame Impala or Maroon 5 when they first came out. I feel like they didn't really, I don't even really remember their visuals.
I just remember Sunday Morning. Like, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I don't even remember This Love, and that was, like, the hot one.
Yeah, like, This Love, like, I would have given it a real New York City, of course. I love New York City videos.
You know who's...
Like, love them.
Like, Thick. Back when Robin Thicke was just Thick, he has this video in New York City where he's riding just riding the bike. Yes. And I was like, this is a fly fucking man.
When his hair was long.
Yes.
That's how you ride a bike. He did it to Sokka to Corinne Bailey Ray. That's how he did. He said, I'm going to show you how to ride a bike.
Yes, Corinne.
So either that, or you know what? I'm going to go back with Tame Impala because I think Eventually would fit it cuter. But I just picture... someone heartbroken. Because how many times have you been heartbroken on the train? Like, let's be real here. How many times have you had to fight back tears on the two train? You know what I mean? Like, I think all of us have experienced that, being in public and going through, like, one of the worst breakups or just occurrences in relationships, and then you have to, like, keep this composure and posture, and you're trying so hard. And I think Tame Impala's Eventually song taps into that, even though it's more so from his perspective where he dumped her. But I think it would be cool for us to see her
dealing with it
while he's singing about, like, because he kind of is whatever about it. I mean, he's not being mean, but he's just kind of like, I'm over it. Like you'll get over it eventually. But I would love to see almost like the juxtaposition of him being over it and her not.
Like her eventually.
Right.
Like what that's looking like.
Yeah, and just seeing her trying to get ready in the morning with that heaviness on her, and then like getting on the train with that heaviness on her. I'd see her as a waitress having to deal with people like yelling at her, or the boss, or people being like, what is wrong with you today? And like not even knowing what she's going through, and her just like on autopilot going through the motions. And then getting home at the end of the day and just like crashing into the couch, you know, with the eventually, like she's like eventually gonna be better, but just not today.
And then someone knocks on her door and it's a fine nigga with some roses.
And then she turns around and looks at the camera and goes,
y'all would do this to my
video.
You
know what I would love to see?
I just got to say
this is what happens when men take the camera from your video.
Okay, fine. It really can be a woman with roses sitting on me.
It's really about to go left because I would love to see Lisa Rae's scene in that pink dress from the,
not
from the Players
Lisa
Club
Ray.
Set to the music of Eventually by Tame Impala. And I know that you'll be going. So eventually, imagine Lisa Rae. La 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 la. Somebody please, internet gods, somebody please make a video capturing Lisa Rae's dance sequence in that pink dress that Drea dressed up for as Halloween, set over the music to Eventually by Tame Impala. Please.
Don't do that to my
Jesus.
Just for the video. I just want to see that because I feel like it could go. As a matter of fact, strippers, while we on it,
go ahead.
Somebody dance to Tame Impala Eventually, because I think you could really work that song out. For
Listen,
real.
Got layers. Isn't Tame Impala coming out with a project with SZA?
I am first in line.
I will do that.
Unless I totally dreamt that, just like I dreamt Love Jones being on Ice.
Baby.
But
I wish I could have seen that dream.
But I really thought that, and we clearly pulled her out of the woodworks because she came out.
And onto the ice.
Face first.
No, but I think I heard Mark Ronson, Tame Impala, and SZA coming out of a project together.
Wow.
Damn.
That's what I thought I heard. I could be wrong. I'll look it up while you guys continue. Wouldn't that be cool?
Hell yeah.
I'm curious.
Speaking of Mark and SZA in the same sentence, shout out to a friend of the show, I Think Mark on Twitter.
My favorite.
Changed his name to Sizzy, S-Z-Y, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
I hate
like,
Mark.
Like Sissy, but Sizzy, S-Z-Y. That took me out. I'm telling you what I see.
Oh, yes, I'm right. SZA discusses new album with Tame Impala and Mark Ronson, and you can find that article on Pitchfork.
Oh, my God, John.
I'm downloading
it. So curious when that's coming out. Very, very cool. Yeah, so that's mine.
That's a great video.
I'm into it.
Now, can you think of any remakes and videos that were bad?
A remake of one that was bad?
Like, you know, when videos do these things where they have, like, a storyline of, like, a movie or, like, okay, so I'm going to give you my bad one. It was Money Shower, and I like the song.
Oh.
With Remy Ma and Fat Joe, because you just said the Players Club.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
In Money Shower, they remade Players Club. And it's the scene where...
I don't think I saw it.
You didn't miss nothing. It was what it was, but it could have been done differently, and that's all I'll say. So just go watch the Money Shower video to all the people listening.
They played Remy.
They did.
They played her because that song is the jam.
It is.
And she reenacts a scene from the Players Club where Ronnie is walking into the room telling everybody to assume... Just watch the video. Remy's not an actress.
No.
She's not an actor.
No.
She's not an opening act. I don't even know what it is, but she needs to just rap.
And that's fine.
I ain't talking about presence, okay? Just rap, Remy, because that acting thing is not for everyone. Some items may be one size fits all, but sometimes you got to get an S, an M, an L, or an XL. You got to get what works for you.
Oh, my God.
And acting don't fit.
So that is it for the icebreaker. this is the part where we can talk about the listens lately. What have you guys been listening to lately?
A lot of people dropped this week,
right? A lot of people dropped.
I feel like it was a lot of new music. So I was listening to Majid Jordan. I really like his new project. I think it's really cool. I've always been a fan, though. I've been a fan. Oh, it's two of them. I think it's a duo, right?
Yeah.
Of their music.
Right. I fucked that up with Division. I always forget it's right? two of them, too.
I'm like, it's one person. Who else? I do like Motorsport.
Hey. Yes.
I was playing that for a minute, right? Don has a new song out called Stopwatch. Shout out to the homie, Jesse Boykins, who wrote it.
Lit.
When he texted me that, I was like, shut up. We were just talking about it. This is the second time he does that to
me. Two of my favorite people. You know, Jesse's a Pisces like me.
You know. I'm so proud of him for that. Who else? I think that's it. Yeah, I started listening to the Ty Dolla $ign project earlier today.
New
didn't
Ty
really
Dolla
finish.
Sign?
I always hear that when I
always,
say it.
Every time I say his name, it's
but I haven't like sat with it, so I won't comment yet. Okay. I'll tell you next week. For same
me,
with the Chris Brown.
That Ty Dolla $ign is finger popping music. I'll be feeling like my daddy and my uncles in them when I listen to Ty Dolla $ign. And his father actually was in a really popular group. Forgive me for not doing my research, but his father was a soul singer back in the day. Ty Dolla $ign, yeah. And so I love his new project. Like I said, it's finger snapping music for me. You know, clean up around the house, get dressed, make you feel like you're the shit. It's good music to spray cologne on too, right? When you're at that stage of getting dressed, right before you leave the house, you can put that on, and you know. So I like that. Also, K Camp's new project drive. Did you listen
to
that? No,
I haven't listened yet.
They got this song called 97. Shout out to my best friend Gary Lavard. As soon as I heard it, I said to him like, K Camp 97.
Love K Camp.
What else have I been listening to? Big Crit dropped. Willow Smith dropped a new project. I didn't listen yet, but I'm going to. I just haven't had time. I think I'm gonna need some time.
Okay.
I feel like Willow don't really make the kind of music I can listen to like on my way to work.
Right.
I need to be like at home sitting down where I can really think about it. Like, you know what?
With incense.
Yeah.
And,
I can wash dishes to Willow Smith.
Yeah, that's it. What about you, Asante? I'm sure there's more, but you know.
21 well. Savage and Offset.
Ooh. And Metro Boomin.
And they are going
without warning.
Off.
Yeah.
And I started listening on the train right here and I like it so far.
It's good. The shit.
Yes. That's my last one.
Well, I have been listening to a lot of old school shit. Zapp and Roger's Greatest Hits.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, really?
Yes, sick. I don't know why.
I know why. Finished going.
I actually revisited, and this is before something came out about NERD, but I revisited the In Search Of albums and Fly or Die because I loved both of those albums when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're forever.
Like, NERD has always been the fucking shit, and I've never lost sight of that. And another thing was on the new.
Later,
that's on the Seeing Sounds album, which is right after Fly or Die, which has a whole nother meaning to me. I just really needed to revisit that era for some reason. Outside of that, I touched the new Ty Dolla $ign for a second, didn't finish it.
You told us you loved the new Tyga.
No, I did not.
You were like,
those words have
no,
never come. I'm sitting up here thinking.
You're like, did I?
I'm waiting. You said Ty. So I'm like, what Ty Dolla $ign song is she about to say I love? But you said Tyga.
You didn't like Bugatti Raw?
I don't even know what that is. Oh, okay. So you said.
How many W's?
Two. Ooh. Ooh, the fact that you. Oh, wow. The fact that you knew.
Wow, we got two Tyga fans in here. This is so cute. Y'all are having such a good time.
You said Tyga is so cute.
Y'all are thinking Tyga is so cute. That's so amazing. Anyway, outside of that, Yo Gotti's new project dropped. I was listening
ooh,
to that.
Oh, so good.
I haven't listened yet.
Brown Bag, is that the name of that song?
Yes.
That is the jam.
And I have not been able to make it through all 525,600 Chris Brown songs. I would do that at some other junction in my life. And I've also been listening to Blondie.
Mm.
Now, this is a really...
You're in a retro mood.
This is a really weird segue, and I really shouldn't say this. I was watching that show that will not be named on this show, and one of the women was talking about how Blondie was a rapper, and, you know, that whole thing came up. And on this show that we will not
people
name...
People credit her for being the creator of hip-hop.
Not the creator, but
I've seen it online. You could literally browse through Twitter how many people think that.
All I know is on this show, they were one of the co-hosts was really making the point that Blondie she was able to bring hip hop to neighborhoods or places where hip hop was not really played enough
to the
or
mainstream,
allowed.
Yeah.
So for them, she just wanted, you know, to be credited as saying that, you know, she didn't say anything wrong by saying Blondie. She helped with hip hop. So I just don't know why, but I was somewhere out listening and I was like, oh, that's Blondie playing. And just because I like Blondie, I wanted to revisit and listen. But I thought that it was funny that that happened on the TV show because I don't want nobody commenting saying, you was watching that show.
That
and be
show.
Like, that's why you said that. That was not the reason I said any of this. So that was the reason for my listens lately. That was it for my listens lately. And I'm working on the November playlist now, even though it is November already, but so much new shit came out, I didn't want to make a playlist and give y'all all of this other shit. I don't want to say old shit, because everything is old after a week anyway. So I want to have some time to make November a little bit more special than what I've made for October. If you're on Apple Music, I finished today adding everybody that requested to follow me from my playlist. So feel free to re-request me if you feel like you did not get approved. They all say approved on my end. I see a bunch of amazing, beautiful faces on Apple Music. Listen to the playlist. Tweet me who your favorite artists are. Go on ahead and put some money in the playlist pledge if you want. That's my weed fund. And make it amazing and make it fun. Outside of that, that is it for the Music Man segment. We can move on over to TV Land.
What you got for us, Dustin?
Queen Sugar.
I'm so
let's
behind.
Talk about it. First of all, on Vi is not well. She's dealing with some medical issues. And it is breaking her down. On Vi doesn't have children. She's been very, very hands-on with, and there are things being revealed about these characters and their lives. Ava is and team and co are really diving deep this season with these characters and their backstories and their lives. We met Charlie's mother. We met Darla's parents. Who Darla's mom was played by Michael Michelle, who is also playing a really good role on Star right now, which is like my favorite show.
I bring me.
Don't get me started.
The doctor, she actually said that in her email. She was like, and shout out to y'all for I bring me.
That is the jam. But anyway, back to Queen Sugar. So Darla's parents came. We solved a lot of those mysteries. I love the way that the writers really, the portrayal of the relationship between addicted child and parents. You know what I mean? Like, she had a problem with substance abuse. Her parents were then dealing with managing that relationship. We have been led to see things through Darla's perspective thus far, and so we knew that she was estranged from her parents. But in this last episode, we were able to see things from her mom's point of view, who said, because Darla started a conversation with her mom about how her parents weren't responsive to her moments of trying to reach out to them via phone, via letter writing, whatever. And so the mother was like, girl, I don't know what you talking about because you're trying to act like you're the victim, but bitch, you was on that shit, first of all. And second of all, you said you was clean how many times? Hundreds of times. So how are we supposed to know this time? You know what I'm saying? We've been here for you, but like, this is not a situation where we wronged you. We're here now because we are trusting in you and what you're telling us, and we've always had this faith in you. Darla was kind of standoffish at first. And once her mother explained that to her, she softened right up. And just seeing that dynamic was interesting. Then you got Ralph Angel. Ralph Angel is the type of television character that you have the highest of hopes for, okay? I mean, giraffe genitalia high, like the highest of hopes. But they just always seem to let you back down to the floor. Ralph Angel is about to really go through it because it was revealed in this past episode that Darla has doubts about the paternity of their child.
Oh, no.
Who we've all been in love with. We love that little boy. His spirit is so kind and gentle. He's such
man.
A loving child. And Darla shared that with Ralph Angel. So Ralph Angel,
damn,
who already loves to take advantage of every opportunity to put the victim shoes on.
Oh, shit.
Here we go again. You know?
Already.
And I've been trying to avoid actually talking about Ralph Angel on the show because I hate to just, I just don't like putting that kind of stuff out there, even if it's about a fictional character. But Ralph Angel is very problematic. He is. So we'll just move on because that's heartbreaking for me. Nova then left. Robert Dubois alone. Okay, and we all know that their relationship the white was guy? So no. He was the black guy.
Oh, I missed this.
Baby, he didn't come came through. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it was too much for Nova because she couldn't deny like this connection. And then she just ran into the white guy after her split with him.
The popo.
So it's just so much going on. Let me think who else. Charlie's mother left. Charlie's mother came, rather, we found out that all of the things that we were led to believe about her mother's relationship with her father were not true. Her father actually did not cheat on Nova and Ralph Angel's mother to create Charlie. They had broken up because Nova and Ralph Angel's mother wanted to be a free spirit and fly the coop. She was tired of living in a marriage, and she wanted to explore the world, and so she hid it. And then he hid it to California and met Charlie's mother, and then he hid it, and then here comes Charlie. And so now there's a blended family. So now they're this blended family. And so we're finding out so many different things and so many layers about these characters. As I've said, Ava and Cole have done an amazing job writing these characters. So you wanted me to talk about Queen Sugar.
Queen Sugar.
And I have. Really briefly, per my co-host Asante's prodding, I will discuss Love and Hip Hop New York very briefly. Much more of the same. Why are Bianca's roots blonde and the rest of her wig is like blue, but it starts in the middle of her head at the crown? Why was Yandy talking on a phone that wasn't even plugged in and people were able to zoom in and see that the phone was literally just sitting on the desk?
No, come on.
You heard
on.
It right. I'll show you receipts.
Come on.
Why was Yandy acting as if we would believe that she would hang up on Mandisi's to have a meaningless conversation with Remy Ma and who else was standing up there?
Was that Bianca? Juju. Oh, yeah, Bianca. It was Juju.
Was it Juju?
It was... Fuck, I don't remember who was in the scene. I checked Juju. Out.
Well, see what I mean?
We don't I know exactly remember. What you mean.
We are people who watch with the religiously. Eagle eye, okay? Yes. We watch for these specific things and nuances in the show that we can talk about, sometimes talk trash, sometimes speak highly of. They didn't give us either one. And I feel like at this late in the game, this is like season 732 of Love and Hip Hop New York.
Right.
It's just tired. I'm no longer thrilled by a different wig in every scene. I'm no longer thrilled by these parties and these clubs that I have been to myself and have been full of people brimming, okay,
yes.
with people. And then there's 13 people in there when they shoot a scene at a quote-unquote industry party. I've never went out with anybody and said, we going to an this supposed to be an industry party? No, it's a party that I'm at. You know what I mean? And there's other people here who work in my field. So the fact that they have people on this show who they want us to believe are credible working musicians who still refer to stuff as industry parties, and I thought this was an industry party, it's all a big fat lie. So I just have been having a hard time connecting.
Is it the cast or the show as a whole?
It's the cast. And I blame the cast on the show as a whole. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Because yes. I feel like if the show would tighten it up, then and clean it up, then they would cast the show differently and bring people who are really interesting and not just wild and spontaneous.
Mm.
And there's a difference. So that's all you I really have to say about
right on the head.
New York. Sister Circle TV is still on. I want to give a shout out to Quad Webb Lunsford for being patient with
Miss
Kiana
Quad.
Dancy. It's starting to show. You can see it.
She cracking.
You can see it. Quad is responding to certain things that she may have ignored over the first few weeks, but I do know that Quad respects this position that she's in on this talk show, and so she's not going to fall victim to her desire to slap the shit or slap Kiana's teeth back together in the front.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Close that gap with overhanded slap in the mouth. I know she's going to ignore that and just make sure the show is good. Selena Johnson, I did it again.
Selena
Johnson is hilarious on the show. It's just good. TV's been good. Iyanla's back. She was giving these couples hell that were visiting her trying to fix their relationships. One man was like 53. His wife was like 31 or something. And he was acting like he was surprised she don't want him no more. Well, first of all, she was 19 and you was on phase 3 of being grown when y'all met. So, like, what you mean you surprised? Like, you ain't even got what it takes
grown.
No more. Like, you in slow motion now. She ready to press play. On your ass. And that's what she told Iyanla, like, everything Iyanla was guiding her to say. You know how Iyanla will pull it out of you, and sometimes people struggle with it. So Iyanla was like, have you outgrown him? Yes, I've outgrown him. It was just coming. Like, instantly, there was no moment of thought or no, you know, pondering. of, you know, her positioning. She was tired of him. Okay, I mean, sleep apnea tired. I mean, like, tired. Okay, narcolepsy tired. She was like tired of him. So that's just been good. That's all that's happening on TV Land. I'll catch y'all next week with a little bit more love and hip slop.
Now we move on to the segment where we see what you guys want to talk to us about. So, Asante, what you got for us this week?
What you got? Okay. What you got?
I'm asking for a friend.
As per usual, don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. I cannot believe that three of you emailed asking for the email. Y'all all had to be playing. I just believe.
Well, you know you're going to get trolled because you say it.
I just believe that I am being trolled, and I would just like to say that was credit. Really funny. So thank y'all for that joke. outside of that, I have to stop scrolling by these police on my sex toy stories and find the question. Sorry, you know, for the beginning, it was a lot of that, the embarrassing moments.
Oh, got you.
Yes. All right, so the subject for this email is no more positivity.
Next. And fuck you for sending it. No, I'm just playing.
They need it. We're trying to give it to them. All right. Hi, friends. I'm a 26-year-old high school teacher.
Hi.
Hey, you said hi back. No, I don't say that. I'm a 26-year-old high school teacher. Before teaching, I worked with nonprofit and community organizations. When I graduated college, I was the epitome of an idealist, optimist, etc.
Uh-oh.
But these last few years doing the work that I do has drained all of the positivity out of me. I just don't care about anything anymore.
Shit.
I even started eating some meat again after over 10 years of being vegetarian because I don't see the point in it.
Wow.
But I knew it was really bad when I realized I no longer value life in general. I'm feeling so negative, and I don't feel like myself anymore. I don't know what to do to get back to the mindset that I used to have. I try to do creative things to de-stress and spend quality time with my husband, but it's hard to find the time. This probably isn't easy, but any thoughts on ways to stay positive besides listening to your podcast? Ha ha. Thank you for your suggestions.
You know what? You just got to look for bright spots in life wherever you can find them. When you are feeling like everything, and these are things that, this is serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're feeling like everything is bad, you have to think about what your life was like before whatever happened to get you to that point. And that's your proof that you can be happy. And you have to remember that and then seek out moments to find happiness through your day, even if it's hour by hour or half hour by half hour, whatever you have to do. Seek out moments that make you happy and make you smile. And do it as often and as frequently as you can so that you can start a pattern of like happiness and happy moments to distract you from all these other things that you find that make you sad.
Mm.
That's it. Like, you have to, when you are capable, you have to seek out those opportunities to kind of make sure that you're staying in a positive space. It's so easy to get burdened down by the things that are hard, challenging, unfair, unjust, untimely, all that stuff. It's so easy to get sucked into that vortex. And it's essential that you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, and find moments in your day to restore your happiness. That's all I can say. I don't know what else to tell you to make you not have those feelings, but I can suggest to do that. To try to have a few better ones, I mean, you can.
Amen.
I mean, I think the first thing I would say is that you're not alone in feeling that. I think especially now, I don't know if you guys would agree, but it's an exhausting time.
Yes.
You know, between the conversations people are having politically, the effects on the job market, which trickles down to the home, which trickles down to stress levels, which trickles down to how we interact with each other in the home. It's all connected, and I think a lot of us are just exhausted. So it's very easy to be disenchanted and kind of feel hopeless because you don't know how to fix it a lot of the times. But what I would say, and this is me speaking from experience from when I've felt rock bottom and how do you pull up from that, is to really, because I don't think this is coming from nowhere. I think sometimes we are on autopilot and it's easy for us to think that we are just like numb to life. But you, I'm sure you know what is making you feel this way. And if maybe you've been numb so long that you've kind of like blurred yourself from what's making you feel that way, but the only way to really get through it is to acknowledge it first. Like you have to face something to be able to change it. And so I would suggest, you know, we mentioned Talkspace, if maybe you don't feel comfortable going in somewhere, but it's really helpful to, if you can't deconstruct those emotions on your own. Like for me, that's why I always bring up journaling. Like whenever I start feeling overwhelmed, I have to write down everything that's bothering me. Like I literally close my eyes and I start thinking of it as a fishbowl and grabbing each fish. Like, okay, this is the issue with my mom. I'm worried about this bill that I can't afford. This credit card is stressing me out. You know, like start writing them down, because when you write down all those things, you see them and you can create a plan of action.
Yes.
Like a real plan of action instead of just sitting and letting it just like eat away at you for years and months. And if it's beyond your scope of fixing, where it's not just the bill or just a conversation with your mom, then that's when you have a professional come in who can help you create a plan of action that brings it into your scope of understanding so that you can be like, ah, okay, this is what I can do to fix this. But like I said, you won't be able to change it until you face it. So hopefully that made sense.
The only way out is through.
Amen.
I totally agree with Fran. Like, there's nothing wrong with getting help. I would say if you aren't comfortable enough to start with Talkspace and you feel like maybe this is something new that you want to explore, you're a high school teacher, maybe try to make friends with the guidance counselor and be like, girl, you know, what kind of degree you got? Can you listen to me for a little bit or try to work something out on that end? But I think because you're a teacher and because you're young and you've been living life so fast, you probably were numb to a lot of stuff, like Fran was saying. Like, I don't know your life or your story, so this is just what I'm pulling from what you sent. You might have been numb for a very long time for some stuff, and you might have to deal with it now. Or you might be getting triggered by shit you've seen every day at school. You might, like, I just need you to sit down, remember why you became a teacher. If becoming a teacher was never part of it, I need you to remind yourself what your end goal is and how to get back to that. I think, you know, being at school and watching these kids pass you by every day, they're living life, so it might have put you in a place. But if that's not the case, you just need to figure it out with someone. And I only say that because the more time you spend by yourself trying to figure it out, the crazier you might drive yourself trying to figure it out. And I don't feel like you should feel any shame in experiencing any of these thoughts or even going down this road. I just feel like you need to get back to your happy and figure out what that looks like. Because, you know, people that are generally positive, there are going to be times where we're not positive. And that doesn't mean that something's wrong with you or there's something wrong with your life or you're broken. You might be making something out of nothing while doing that. But if that's not the case, I feel like mapping it out with someone, or like Fran said, writing it all down, will just give you a better sense of who you are, what's going on, and, you know, help you figure out what you need to do to get to that next step.
And see if that school is draining you out of your life force. Because one of my best friends, who I've mentioned on the show before that she's a principal, she was telling me this week that she swears she has like PTSD from the job. And it's a really tricky thing, because like working with children is so rewarding, but you have to acknowledge when it's like killing you as right. well, because she's so overwhelmed between like administrative issues, dealing with kids' parents, which is like a whole other level, then the kids themselves, and then she's in a school where they're sending, it's like a charter school, so they're sending all the like quote-unquote badass kids from all the other schools to her school. So she has a school full of kids that are having problems functioning in the classroom setting, and then she has to deal with that stress and then come home and try to be a mom and a wife, you know. So be aware of where you're overextending yourself, or where like a career might not be helping you thrive as a person, like as a human. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. My best friend's a freaking principal. She's busted her ass to get here, but she also acknowledges that she does not feel good. Bottom line, she's like, I need out. Like, I gotta get out. And it was a very hard realization, because you put so many years into these degrees and into getting these positions. But bottom line is, if it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel good. So maybe that's something you need to look into. Doesn't mean quit. Right. But just start thinking of other careers or positions that would make maybe, you know, fuel you in a different direction.
Yeah, new energy.
Get back to the vision.
Yeah, so hopefully we helped in some way.
God bless you, baby.
Let us know what's going on, you know?
Hit us up again.
You a teacher, you working with the kids, you doing something, you know, really amazing and awesome, but you are still a person. Very rewarding,
but it's also exhausting. My mom was a teacher for 25 years.
You are still a person, so you still need to take care of yourself, so I still want to make sure that that's what's happening and that's what you're doing.
Yeah, now let's jump into this week's Black Business Highlight. What you got for us?
All right. So for those into dressing and clothing and things of that nature, I wanted to feature the Harlem Haberdashery. Now, Harlem Haberdashery is a clothing store, but it's home to 5001 Flavors, which is, 5001 Flavors. Sorry, the screen just got really crazy all of a sudden. And basically, Diddy worked with them back in the day and was responsible for getting looks out on, like, Biggie, and Diddy himself wore some of the clothes.
So dope.
It's owned by a couple, Guy and Shay Wood, and they've been designing clothes together for more than 20 years. So they're clothing designers. They got their own shop, and it's really, really dope if you're looking to get dressed for an event or if you just really want some Black people that can, like, design you something and tailor you something. This is for the person that is not running to the H&M or the Zara for their latest outfit, or they're going to Zara for that tux and they need it tailored and to look right with someone else.
I hear that.
Harlem Haberdashery can make you look A1, and they have worked with some of your faves. Like I said, Diddy, Biggie, Rick Ross. They've been featured in Black Enterprise. It's, you know, Black people just out here doing the thing. So I feel like with it being a physical business, a brick and mortar as well, it's dope to just be able to walk into a place and be like, Black people made these clothes and they put everything on these racks and they're going to help me look my best.
Yes.
So absolutely. So go check them out right here in Harlem. The address is 245 Lenox between 122nd and 123rd Street.
Hey.
So go check out Harlem Haberdashery and tell them the Friend Zone sent you.
Dope. That's it for us this week. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
Not that I can talk about today.
But we'll see y'all in Dallas. Can't wait.
Dirty Dallas.
Yay.
November 4th.
FriendZoneLive.com.
Anything for you?
That's it right now. You know, I'm just out here brewing and stewing. Got some things going, but I can't talk about any of them yet.
Y'all kill me with these smirks.
I was thinking about it. It's like the date's not right yet.
Right.
What about you, Fran?
Yeah, nothing I can talk about yet. Just different projects.
And then you're going to do it. And then you're going
to
do it.
I didn't even mean to say it. It just, like, came out. But, of course, I will see you guys in Dallas on Saturday, and then I'll see you in Seattle the next week.
Yeah,
so,
Seattle, baby.
A lot of
I'm a worldwide woman.
I just got mad all over again.
What?
Because Mary Mary got a song called Seattle, and it's one of the prettiest songs I've ever heard in my life.
Your favorite.
But I hope you have a wonderful trip in Seattle, fam.
Thank you. I will. It's going to be amazing. So that's it for us.
Go ahead. Not even start. Go ahead.
He was wound up. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And as always, we will catch you guys next week.
Stay Black and protect your magic.
Bye.